Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And Rob, this week, Governor Steve Bullock and Senator John Tester sent a letter to the company PayPal inviting them to set up their new facility in Montana. And this was after PayPal canceled plans to build in North Carolina over that state's passage of a law banning non-discrimination policies based on gender identity. And the governor's letter obviously was meant to send the message that Montana is open to gay-friendly businesses and to draw a distinction between himself and his Republican challenger, Greg Gianforte.
Yeah, this appeal to PayPal, I think, probably has about a 0% chance of actually resulting in the company moving to Montana. Corporations don't typically make important business decisions based on a welcome letter and a tourist brochure from the governor. But if Bullock is, I think, framing this around the social issues that he would like to see be a part of the Montana campaign. And this overture to PayPal is a not-so-subtle reminder of charges that Bullock's opponent, Greg Gianforte, is out of the mainstream on social issues. As you noted, this law, which is quite controversial in North Carolina, it prevents localities from establishing certain LGBT protections. And the connection here is that Gianforte has made charitable donations to groups that have opposed gay rights efforts, including local initiatives. And Democrats think they have a real winner on this issue and want this gubernatorial campaign to be oriented around some of these concerns. And I guess as a little added plus, aside from the social issue angle, Gianforte has banked his campaign on the economy and, in particular, good high-wage jobs. Well, Bullock is indicating here he has his eye on that, too, and can play that game just as well as Gianforte.
And it's interesting to note, too, that, of course, Gianforte has a high-tech background. That's how he made his millions. And a lot of the companies that are objecting to laws that have been passed, like in North Carolina, are high-tech companies, Google and Apple and PayPal and so on.
It's an interesting way in which this has come up. On the one hand, you have, certainly in speaking nationally, a Republican Party that has a reputation for being pro-business, but also quite conservative when it comes to social issues. And this is opening up a little bit of a rift here. You have major corporations, major employers essentially saying they're willing to pack their bags and hit the road rather than do business in communities that they perceive to be not welcoming of a broad range of individuals.
Well, it's certainly becoming more and more problematic for politicians to be pro-business but anti-gay. Chuck, the other big issue in the gubernatorial race so far is resource development, especially coal. And Governor Bullock this week formed a working group to explore the possibility of finding new owners for Colstrip Plants 1 and 2 in the likely event the current out-of-state owners will sell or close those plants. And his opponent, Greg Gianforte, has charged the governor isn't doing enough to protect coal industry jobs, and this appears to be in part an effort to counter that.
Yeah, I guess it is. The governor, as we know, likes working groups, big working groups that kind of covers, you know, the spectrum of people on issues. As someone who's covered working groups over the years, I've always thought they were sort of worthless. But when you have that many people, and we don't know how many will be on this one, it kind of homogenizes everything down to a level nobody really likes. But he's trying to come up with some way to save Colstrip 1 and 2. It seemed to land with a bit of a dull thud. Northwestern Energy, which buys some of the power from the Colstrip plants, didn't seem terribly interested in it. You know, we had a ballot issue back in 2002 to buy the dams from PPL, which Northwestern now owns, and they were the original Montana Power dams till deregulation led the power company to sell them. That thing went down better than 2-1, so I don't think there's any chance the public is interested in buying them. They may be sort of white elephants on the market. I really don't know who would be very interested in buying them as long as other power sources are available.
Well, here's what the governor had to say about this new working group.
Right now, we're sort of in a place where you hear a lot of noise, but not a lot of direction. To try to have a little bit more structure in a discussion, I think it's good for our overall state.
Well, Rob, here's what Aaron Flint, who's Greg Gianforte's campaign spokesman, had to say about this working group. He said, quote, "All Steve Bullock is doing is trying to figure out which lambs we're going to send to slaughter. all the while doing nothing to stop the slaughter, really doing nothing to block a shutdown of Colstrip.
Right. Yeah, you know, as we've discussed before, energy is a tough issue for the governor because it pits two key Democratic constituencies against each other. Labor wants to fight for those jobs in Colstrip and in the traditional energy sector more broadly, while environmentalists want to combat climate change by, among other things, getting off coal. And Steve Bullock is stuck there in the middle with Gianforte hammering him on it every chance he gets. So, you know, I think as you suggested earlier, there probably are some campaign politics at work here, not strictly just policy. To be sure, Bullock's plan for this working group won't by any means take energy off the table in this campaign, but it does allow the governor some breathing room. I think first he'll be able to point to this and claim that he's doing something of substance here. And second, it does kick the can down the road a little bit. After all, it takes time for groups like this to form and to do their work and all of the things these working groups do. And we right now have less than 7 months until the general election in November. And that's really not much time relative to the tasks Governor Bullock has laid out for this working group. And a final thing, I guess that's probably worth noting, is that one of the difficulties of this issue is that so much of it is beyond our control. It's tied up in the national market for coal and in other states like Washington and Oregon, which obviously the governor has very little, if any, influence over. And a lot of those states are trying to move to renewable energy sources, get off coal. And so on the policy of it, you know, insofar as Montanans can come together and take a hard look at this and try to think about the future of coal as part of the energy portfolio and what can be done about Colstrip, that seems like a reasonable forward-thinking idea. But the answers are very unclear, and it does seem like there's some real political upsides for the governor to try to defuse this issue a little bit with this working group ahead of the election.
No upside with environmentalists, though. They've come out really slamming the working group, saying the governor should be focused on renewable energy instead of trying to save what they believe is a dying industry, that being coal. Chuck, Greg Gianforte held a press conference this week with Republican Senator Steve Daines and Congressman Ryan Zinke, to no one's amazement, endorsing him for governor. And here's what Ryan Zinke had to say.
I need a partner. What I see in Washington is someone wants to control our lands and our health care and our wildlife and our water. And a lot of times what we need is a partner in the state that is concerned about Montana jobs and not raising money for other governors that are killing Montana jobs.
And Chuck, he's right. A Republican governor would be a big asset to a Republican congressman in terms of trying to achieve a common agenda.
That's correct. We haven't often had that solid lineup of a governor and the members of the congressional delegation all of the same party, and we probably won't in the near future have all of them in the same party. It's pretty hard for them all to line up. But it was an effort by Greg Gianforte to get Senator Steve Daines and Ryan Zinke to come out for him. It'd be more of a news story if one of them didn't. I mean, it's kind of a dog bites man story, but, you know, party unity is probably okay. But to me, it was not much of a story, but something that parties do to sort of gin up support for their ticket and to try to get the rank and file members behind them, although I think they're probably all behind them already.
Rob, it seems like in terms of what the gubernatorial campaign is going to be about is really coming into focus now, though, that we've been talking about kind of the same issues in that race for a few weeks now, and they're really starting to, I think, double down. Each campaign is doubling down on what it wants to be their campaign attack.
Yeah, absolutely, Sally. And you know, I think that is one of the things you see a lot in this early stage of a campaign like this. You want to set the agenda and to try to paint your opponent in the way that you want the electorate to view him. And I think that is becoming just crystal clear. Governor Bullock wants this race to be about social issues, and he wants to prime those issues in the minds of voters. So when you think of Greg Gianforte, you think of his stance on social issues. And Gianforte clearly wants this race to be about the economy and creating good jobs. And he wants the voters to, when they think of Governor Bullock, to think of someone who's not up to the task of really taking Montana's economy to the next level.
And it'll be interesting to watch how national events play out in terms of affecting those issues in Montana, because as you said earlier, Rob, some of these things are out of the state's control. You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.